Today's episode is brought to you by Club Sweat, a gym in Greenwich, Connecticut. Fantastic place. I love that gym. Anytime I'm in Connecticut, we stop there. I make a point of going there. If I'm in New England, I go to Club Sweat. It's just a fantastic gym. It's super clean, okay? They've just got knowledgeable staff. The gym is nice. Like, the equipment's great. I made an ad for them a few years ago. We had a miscommunication, and I made an ad for them that they didn't like. And it was a radio ad, and I felt really bad about it. And it kind of – I'm going to play it in a second, actually. But it kind of – it was a negative thing. Like, there was some pushback that turned into real, like, real disappointment. And I apologized to them. And to continue that apology, I returned the money, of course. And to continue that apology, tonight's episode of The Mindfield is brought to you by Club Sweat. Thanks, guys, and I'm sorry again.
Friday night is ladies' night at Club Sweat.
Ladies' night.
Featuring special guests Black Gold and Texas Tea.
Titty, titty, bang, bang.
No dress code. No bouncers. Ladies in free all night. Club Sweat. Black Gold and Texas Tea will be performing their latest hits, including Eat a Sandwich and Put Your Pussy on a Ladder.
Put your on this ladder.
Yeah, now there it is. Look,
them dunking bisexual.
The greatest podcast in history.
The last decade of podcasting.
He's a global icon, not only for what he did.
You think I'm not laughing? You should be laughing.
World class podcast.
Seven basketball players in a row.
Now, on to serious business.
Welcome to the Minefield MF22, the world's greatest Bigfoot hunting / Bigfoot debunking podcast. We sprinkle in a little comedy, a little true crime, and a lot of mindful meditation. And we're the best at that. It's episode 71. Here's your successful podcast host, Will.
Seven basketball players in a row.
Basketball players in a row. Seven. Hey guys, we're gonna start with the boring stuff. Sorry. Quick housekeeping. And I hate to get so deep at the beginning of a podcast, but we're gonna have to do it.
So let's get real deep here.
We're gonna get deep. And there we go.
Say thank you to our sponsors.
Thank you.
And in all seriousness, a moment of silence. Let's talk Bigfoot hunting. Let's talk Bigfoot sightings. I'm in Metro Atlanta. I'm a Georgia resident my whole life. So let's look at that. Where do you start? Well, you start at BFRO. BFRO is the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, and it is it's an extensive group of researchers, adventurers. They put on these expeditions. They have a database of sightings, very detailed. I'm going to focus on a group of sightings in Georgia, in Lafayette, Northwest, especially centered around the area of Pigeon Mountain. Now, there have been sightings since the 70s, and actually before, and those are actually documented on BFRO's database. I say sightings, they're actually most of the incidents that come from Walker County, Lafayette area of Northwest Georgia, and BFRO have to do with what people hear rather than what they're seeing. So a lot of the reports are vocalizations that they're hearing. Now, there's what a lot of people are seeing, like, also seeing stalking, bipedal, large movement, bulky, man-like figures in the moonlight, stalking and sort of following. But the main thing that's being reported around Pigeon Mountain in Walker County is vocalizations. So here's a sighting from the fall of 2011, Walker County, near Cloudland, Georgia. This report was put in all caps, so to me, immediately seems even scarier and more terrifying but everything is written in caps. So location, nearest town, nearest road, other witnesses, other stories, times and conditions, environment, all the things that you fill out when you're filling out a BFRO Bigfoot reporting, sighting report, he filled out in all caps. And I say he because, well, I'd bet my life that a man wrote this. And does anyone want to argue that in the whole world? I seriously doubt that. So he was out on Pigeon Mountain. This is fall of 2011. And he hears this scream. He says, I'm used to hearing screams on Pigeon Mountain. And that wasn't what I've heard before. It was a deep growl, then a long, mellow scream. And I heard the same noise below my house. I live about 3 miles from Pigeon Mountain in Moon Lake Road. And a couple of months ago, I heard the same scream. Now, BFRO, they don't just report and, you know, archive this information. They organize and report and archive that information. But they also send out investigators to follow up on these reports. And one of my favorite investigators with BFRO in the Georgia area is Morris Collins. And Morris is a guy who went to Auburn. And he is like a scuba guy and a backpacker. And he is a member of the Southeastern BFRO tracking team. And he's like completed courses in tracking and then following up and investigating. And so what he does is he goes and if you make a report on BFRO's database, you know, that you have this Bigfoot run-in, an investigator like Morris Collins is going to show up at your doorstep. And he's an intimidating man. I've had, like, you know, so I don't want to get into the details, but he's very, very intimidating. And then he follows up with a report and says, you know, whether or not he finds it to be credible. This particular case, Morris Collins found credible. He said, after hearing the story in person, it's entirely possible that he heard Sasquatch activity and pointed out, of course, that the area has a long history of Sasquatch sightings. How long? I mean, like I mentioned earlier, going back to the 70s, a hunter made a report with BFRO that was passed down. It was an old story from 1974, November of 1974, actually, in Walker County. A hunter up near Chamberlain Road was deer hunting, following a group of deer. It got dark and he had to turn and come down the mountain.
I had to turn and come down the mountain. There were none of the normal animal sounds. I heard something coming down the mountain, taking a parallel path that I was taking. I could not see anything. There were limbs breaking, limbs rustling, and then I would hear nothing. I had unloaded my gun for safety and reloaded because I'd never heard an animal move through the woods like this one. 1 minute it would sound like a raging bull, and the next it would move down the mountain, not making a sound. I heard a grunt and a growl. I was terrified and felt as if I was being stalked. When I stopped, so did it. When I moved slow, it moved slow. When I moved faster, it moved faster. I reached the base of the mountain and had taken a wrong turn and put myself in front of a large briar patch. I didn't let that stop me. I dove through the briars, cutting and scratching myself, finally reaching the safety of my truck and once again hearing the grunting noise behind me. I'd never return to look for the deer that I wounded, or even hunt in that area again. I did not ever see anything, but something large was in the woods that night.
There have always been stories about a creature who walked on two legs during that time period. One farmer claimed to have chased an animal like that in his pickup truck and couldn't catch it, running, he said, 40 miles an hour. There were reports of hogs being carried over tall fences with blood everywhere, missing dogs, missing livestock, and strange noises. One farmer told someone that he saw a creature chasing his cows, saying it had black hair all over its body, and it moved on two legs, but like a cat. He told me while we were repairing fences in the area that he saw the animal. And now it's time to debunk. Those were not Bigfoot vocalizations. They were owls, probably. Some of them were maybe teenagers drinking around a bonfire. Some were a disturbed person running through the woods, unmedicated and unchained. Some of those vocalizations were large cats, bear, dog. Most of the sightings were bear. Some were homeless people. Some were wild men living in the woods, usually avoiding some sort of judicial fate. I hate to tell you, guys, but you've been debunked, okay? Now I'm going to have to see what our boy Morris Collins finds out when he does his investigation. These are the words of Morris Collins, BFRO investigator, but they're being played by a voice actor today. Mr. Collins is a private man who doesn't take kindly to podcasts, especially when they're podcasts that are centered around debunking Bigfoot sightings.
I spoke with the witness for 30 minutes on June 10th, 2007. I found him to be sincere and forthcoming in his comments and observation.
Oh yeah, forgot to tell ya. Interesting thing about Pigeon Mountain, where all these vocalizations are being heard. It's a little mountain up there in northwest Georgia, 2,300 feet elevation. What's located on the mountain? Well, Ellison's Cave and Pettyjohn's Cave. There's a whole cave system on the mountain. And wouldn't that be perfect? Just perfect for some Bigfoot and its family to hide away in.
He told me additional details, like he had heard three separate throaty growls from the upper part of the mountain. He was followed, with the animal stopping when he stopped and moving when he did. He found the experience very highly unnerving. He is now not comfortable in the woods after dark, though he does still hunt. He's lived in the area for many years and is familiar with the surrounding area in the woods there. Cornfield Sink, Northfield Sink, and Pettyjohn Cave
are in the area where his occurrence happened. There's a history of sightings and unexplained animal noises in this area.
A history of unexplained noises is right. It wouldn't even be 5 years later when another bizarre report came out of Walker County, January 16th, 1983. Cornfield Sink of the Blue Hole Cave, 3 miles northeast of Rocky Lane. This is in Lafayette, off of Highway 193. Three cavers were coming out of the Cornfield Sink on the east side of Pigeon Mountain. They came out at about 3 a.m. and started gathering their stuff for the half-mile walk back to the car. As soon as we were about to leave, the strangest call I'd ever heard came from the opposite side of the sink from us. Distance would have been about 900 feet. Three of us had been woodsmen all of our lives, but none of us had ever heard a call like that. It sounded like four different animals in one, all powered by what must have been an enormous set of lungs. Hearing the vocalization, the three of us looked at each other, saucer-eyed, not saying a word. The same hiker also said that he had heard of strange occurrences on the west side of Pigeon Mountain. Some locals say they won't even venture over there. Most seem to have heard big cats, of which we're not supposed to have around here in North Georgia, or that's what they say. But a couple cavers that he had talked to heard something that they say was not a cat. Alright guys, we're going to finish today with a meditation, a guided meditation, and this is one of my favorites, okay? It was actually uploaded to a database of meditations that I pay a weekly fee to get access to. I think it's like $700 or something every week, and it's worth every penny because you can get access to all these different meditations, guided meditations. But this particular one was uploaded by an actual Sasquatch. So whether you believe or not, it's a really effective meditation, and it is further proof that Sasquatch is real, that Bigfoot is real. So, let's find a comfy spot somewhere where we can relax our shoulders and our eyebrows and slowly close our eyes. Let your stomach go soft and unclench your jaw. In your mind, we're going to start hiking. Hiking through the woods. Deep, deep breaths. And in between each inhale and exhale, do a count to three pause between each one and just relax into the confines of a dark forest with me. You are 7 feet tall and covered with thick fur hair. You live alone in the woods. Staying away from humans, you walk amongst the forest. Forest bathing all year round. Forest sauna in the summer. Forest freezer in the winter. And the entire time, you watch your thoughts pass by you like butterflies. As you walk, your thoughts pass by you like owls in the night. Because you're Bigfoot, your thoughts are instinctual, survival-based. So you smell, and you watch, and you look for food. No time for rumination when you're constantly looking over your shoulder or looking for food. So you walk with soft feet on the forest floor. Deep inhale and count to three. Hold, two, three. Then exhale. And hold. You walk with soft feet on the forest floor and roll your feet like a bear, like a flute in a marching band, like a Native American, and see your thoughts float by. Stay quiet. Look for things to eat, says one of your thoughts as it floats by. There's another one. It says, keep your eye out for hunters and researchers. Remember to breathe. Smell. Smell for something to eat. Remember to stay quiet. And these thoughts just float by. You are forest bathing, surrounded and hugged by the humidity in between the trees. Your senses are alight in every direction. You smell trees and vegetation and a deer over there and squirrels everywhere. Deep inhale in and hold. Remember, if you get spotted, drop down to all fours and walk like a bear. Run. Run like a bear on all fours. If you get spotted, just walk like you're a hunter in camo gear. Another thought went flying by like cars on the highway. Freeze. Slip behind a tree and wait for the thought to go by. When it's clear, you can come back out. Hurry across the road and back into the woods, away from the thoughts. No time for rumination when you're running back to the cave. The loud moto men are coming back, and this time they've been smoking synthetic weed. See your thoughts fly by, run. Sound of moto men getting louder.
Look for cave. Run. I am getting ready to fight. Inhale. 2, 3. And hold. 2, 3. Deep breaths. Relax your jaw. Relax your eyebrows.
Let your stomach go soft.
Exhale. Oof. It's getting scary in Lafayette. More Bigfoot tales next week. More Conway Twitty. And next week we reach out to a really special guy named Robert Paul Champagne.
I heard the minefield. Who's the minefield? The minefield will host. The minefield? I am the minefield. I heard about you on a part. The minefield, the host will, the minefield, the host will talk about you all the time. Okay. How are you? Your name is, Kurtz. Kurtz. How are you? Oh, your intern. Ah. That's good to have a show. It's good to have a show, guys. But, I don't know. I get people baffled when I go to these places. I swear, I could go to a store. You could... Okay, guys. Now, has anybody seen... Anybody see where, bell-bottoms?
Good luck hunting out there. And if you do find anything, good luck debunking. You're now leaving the minefield.